Praise the Lord. Well, now let us come to the Word of God. We're going to read Psalm 90, Psalm number 90. The heading of this psalm in the Church Bible is the eternity of God and man's frailty. And that really is the title of this morning's sermon, Psalm number 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God for it. I'm sure some of us would have preferred if I'd read Psalm 91 rather than Psalm 90. As Psalm 90 is what we would call a psalm of lament. A prayer of lament is a lamentation. But the verse which I really do believe that I should speak from this morning is verse 12 in Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And we'll be coming to that in a moment. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. We've been reading about the eternity of God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is finite. We are creatures, his creation. We are finite. God is infinite. God is infinite. We are finite. And this psalm has something to talk to us about how we spend our time. How we spend our time. Do you realize that over the course of a lifetime, each of us are expected to spend 6 months sitting at traffic lights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for objects and items which we've misplaced, 4 years doing housework, and 5 years waiting in queues? That's a lot of time. How do you view time? How do you view your time? How do I view my time? I think for most of us, our lives are quite busy. Perhaps too busy. Think, if you are at the traffic lights and the light turns green and you hesitate just for a moment, the whole world will be honking their horn. We're so harried, are we not, that we think that our timing is gone off if we miss one panel of the revolving door. Oh no, I've got to wait for the next part now. Think about it when you go to the supermarket. If you've got a trolley full of goods, too much to go through the self-service, you're eyeing up the different queues. Which is the shortest? Which is the shortest? And you pace up and down. And of course, by the time you get back to the one you had thought about going, there's another person joined the queue. And then you do join the queue, but you're looking at the next queue. I wish I'd joined that one instead. Time. We're so busy, we're in such a hurry. And of course, in our busy lives, we know the added pressure of knowing that things tend towards degeneration. If you have a garden and you neglect it, it will soon be overgrown with weeds. The fruit will not grow. Even our own bodies, if we don't look after our bodies, we will vegetate and degenerate. Time. Time. How do I view time? It's a strange question in some ways, isn't it? Time is so pervasive that we ignore it the way a goldfish ignores water. But consciously or not, we all have a view of time. So what is time to you? Is time a resource or is it a problem? Just something to endure. Each day I've got to get through the day. Does time represent a threat to you or an opportunity? When you get up and you pray about the day, are you thinking just of the chores you may have to do or of the pain that you may be feeling? Or do you see it as a day of opportunity that Christ, living in you, wants you to demonstrate his love, his light, his glory, and have an impact? Is time often running out on you? Or are you just trying to kill it? This psalm that we read, Psalm 90, is a reflection on the transience of life. It is a serious psalm. Folk, we live a short life. My dear sister, sitting in the second row back, will be celebrating 95 years in just 2 weeks' time. But it's still like a vapor, isn't it? 95, that's a good age. She's gone well past the 70 and 80 years. We have another sister here who's reached 90 years old. That's a good age. God has been good. Amen. God has been good. But compared to eternity, it's still but a vapor. We live a short life. And of course, we need to know the one who is eternal. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is a psalm of lament in which we see God's judgment against evildoers and the brevity of life. But also, even in the midst of the psalm, even in the midst of sorrow, we can acknowledge the security that we know in the Lord. And we can pray for renewal. Hallelujah. Well, Moses is the author of this psalm. It's the only psalm which is attributed to Moses. And my guess is, It was probably written in connection with Israel's failure at Kadesh Barnea, which we read about in Numbers 13 and 14. You remember what happened? The people, except Joshua and Caleb, refused to follow Moses into the promised land. So consequently, they had to wander around in circles for 40 years until they all died. All who had rebelled died. And so for Moses, things looked pretty bleak. Having witnessed this incredible death toll, somebody has worked it out. On average, there have been 80 funerals a day. Well, Moses tells us right away that God is eternal, but people are mortal. We read that in the opening six verses and also in verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, "For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason or strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. And yes, friend, if you are a believer, if you're following Jesus Christ, if you're seeking to be obedient to him, if you're making the most of your time, if you're redeeming the time, Christ living in you, you will share his kingdom forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise be to his name. God is eternal. He has been our shelter throughout every generation. Before creation, from everlasting to everlasting. His eternity gives us hope because he's unrestricted by time. And then we read also in verses 3 to 6 of this psalm, and again the verses I've read, verses 9 and 10, that people are mortal. Moses compares us to dust, to withering grass. Moses gives us 70 to 80 years to live. And to give us, if you like, perspective of the brevity of our grass-like life, Moses compares our time with God's. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or a watch in the night. Hey folk, I feel a hymn coming upon me. Shall we stand? Oh God, should be there. The hymn is based on this psalm. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. This is extolling the Lord, the eternity of our God. Shall we sing it? Time. Do you know, friends, if we live to 70, our days will be 25,500. If you live to 80, your days will be 29,200. I don't know how many more days, months, or years you have, or what I have. God knows. What are we going to do with our time now? Think about it like this. If 1,000 years is to God like one day, then a person who passes away at the age of 80 only lives 8% of one God day. No wonder Moses prayed this way, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Will you turn with me in the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 19. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Our text says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might have understanding, that we might have wisdom. And in verse 17 of this chapter, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hey, it's knowing about Jesus, isn't it? It's knowing about Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. The revelation of Jesus to you and to me. And if we have that eternal perspective, I think our days will be ordered aright. A heart of wisdom, knowing Christ, is one of the New Testament ways of describing saving faith. We need to know Jesus. We need to be walking with Jesus. As we heard last week and previous week, walking on the narrow way where Jesus is. Christ in me, I in him. You know, we need to know Jesus. Do you really, really, really know Jesus? I know about David Cameron. I know how tall he is. I know what school he went to. I know his children. I know his wife's name. I know his residence in Downing Street. But I don't actually know him. I've never met him. It's just an acquaintance through the newspapers or television. We can't know Jesus that way. He is there to be known. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ being part of your decisions which you make day by day, Christ with you in your relationship with husband, your relationship with wife, your relationship with children, your relationship with parents, your professional relationship, Christ in you. Knowing Christ, having that eternal perspective, numbering our days, teaching us about wisdom, teaching us about Jesus Christ. Are we in him? Are you in him? Is he in you? You see, Moses in this psalm obviously has experience, and we know from history, from the Torah, that he had a sufficient measure of God's anger. For example, you read in Exodus chapter 32, when Aaron and Tothers built this golden calf. Moses was angry, but God's wrath was poured out. Moses experienced the anger of God. We've already referred to Numbers chapter 13, etc. God's anger was poured out against the Israelites because they refused to be obedient. They wished they'd been back in Egypt. They did not appreciate God's love, God's provision, God's protection. They murmured. They rebelled. They were a stiff-necked people. God's anger was poured out. Okay, you're not going to enter the promised land. And even Moses, as we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 3, as it's recounted, he himself did not enter the promised land. A heart of wisdom is a heart that believes God's promises. A heart of wisdom is one that trusts God to lead us all our life. A heart of wisdom is one that turns away from anything that is not of faith. Jesus himself said, did he not, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, that life is more than food or clothes. Let the pagans worry about such things. You put your trust in God. You know the living one. You know Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient one. You know that he's Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. So redeem the time. Make the most of your time. Live it as Jesus is living in you. We have to do our business. Mums have to get up. They have to get the children ready for school. They are busy-wizzy. They have to do the ironing, the washing, the shopping, the collecting, the taking, and all this sort of thing. But Jesus can empower you to do these things. So the person you meet at the bus stop, the person you meet in the shopping queue, the one who's standing at the door, at the gates of the school, they can see, hey, you're not frustrated. You're not flustered. What's it about you? I've got the Prince of Peace living in me. Doing things not because it's duty, but because it's part of God's will for you. He is sovereign. He's overall. And he's given you something that is very precious, himself. Let's turn to our final scripture reading, and it's also in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Making the most of time. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Friends, for the Christian, for the believer, for the follower of Jesus Christ, life is more than accomplishing items on a bucket list. Life is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Read Philippians 1 when you get home. He says, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. You have eternal life. Don't live as a pauper. Don't live as if you still were in darkness. You've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. You're now in the kingdom of light. What privileged people we are. But we have to seek the Lord. Moses' cry was, teach me. I need to be taught. I need to humble myself before him. What do you want to do with my life? I don't want to just be busy doing things. I want to be doing your will, Lord, because that will have an impact. You may ask me to do things within my natural I don't want to do. It is a chore. I might even consider it boring, Lord. But if you've asked me to do it, your life will flow through and there will be a gracious effect. Blessing others. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and your effect on the community around you, your family, your friends, a neighborhood, your work, your college. I think that, you know, we spoke about it a few Sundays ago, but we are co-workers, co-laborers with Jesus. He is in you, Christ in you, working his life through you, empowering you, strengthening you. This gives us hope. The eternity of God gives us hope. The reward of a heart of wisdom is that we will spend each day in an eternity that will not pass away. Just spending time with the Son, Jesus Christ, that will be our great delight. So verse 12 of our psalm says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let me give you another fact. You may be 40 years old today. If you do live to 70, it means you have 1,500 weekends left. Teach us to number our days. Teach us, Lord, because we don't want to do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. Teach us because we don't know how to. In other words, Lord, teach us to live as if our days are numbered. Most of us adults know what it is to number our days. Many of us did it leading up to our wedding day. Ever asked an engaged lady how long it is until her wedding day, she will say, oh, it's 28 days, 10 hours and 40 minutes. And if he's late, I'll murder him. No. We know how it is to count our days to our holiday, to count our days to retirement. So many of us know how to number our days. But Moses says this, God, teach us to live as if our days are numbered, since we don't know when our end will come. Moses says, teach us this, God, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is so big. He says, I realize I don't make wise decisions with my time without your help. I want to make decisions that will have a lasting impact. God, teach us to view our days as numbered so that we may gain a heart of wisdom and make better decisions the rest of my days. You may have made decisions which you now regret, which are influencing, impacting your life. You can't do anything about that, but as a believer, see that Christ has covered that with his blood. If you sought forgiveness, you are forgiven. Don't mope about it. You can't do anything about it except bury it. I've said before, you know, the conversations which you have about your past are only delighting Satan. The conversations about today, tomorrow, and your future are what God wants you to have with him. And he will direct your path. And as a believer, you're not a failure. He can turn our bads into his good. Because I believe whatever mistakes, errors, and folly we've done in the past, if it's been covered by the blood of Jesus, it's going to be one of those things which work out for good. Because Satan hasn't got the victory. God has. You will not be able to live for the future and seek God's grace, seek God's help, and live a dynamic life, a life of prayer, a life of service, a life of blessing, unless you see yourself as Christ sees you, a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. If you see yourself as a victim, you will be a victim. But that's not God's will. And this is why even our prayer this morning in chapter 90 of the Psalms, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We are dependent on him. Hallelujah. But even the reading which we read in Ephesians, it says, you know, I want to teach you. I want to give you a spirit of revelation. I want to give you a spirit of wisdom. That's Christ's heart. And if Christ wants to do that, don't have a heart of unbelief, because that would be sin. Faith responds to God's word. Hallelujah. He may cause you to go through challenging circumstances. He will cause you and me to die to self, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. But I want to have that grace, that spirit, that life in me of Christ Jesus says, I will do it, because you will get the glory. And one day, you know, the NIV says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Let us be clear. How you spend your time, the attitude you have to your time and life, how you live now, will determine what happens to you after you die. I'm not talking about if you're a believer and seeking to be obedient and a follower of Jesus, that you will lose your reward of heaven. I'm not saying that. But the choices you make each day, make sure they don't come to nothing when you pass away. They matter, and they continue to matter throughout eternity. I say again, your eternal destination is determined by what you believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. If you're seeking to follow him, you're safe. But your eternal reward is the result of how you behave. If you believe that and live accordingly, it will change how you think about life. We have been chosen. And we have been chosen that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. This isn't depressing news, friends. It gives me hope that God wants to reveal himself and his wisdom to me, so that whatever challenges, opportunities, pain, joy comes my way, I can still triumph in Christ and bless others. Not about me, it's about him and his glory. We need to pray that he will teach us to number our days. God has given us all days, weeks, months, years maybe yet to live. He wants us to live with a purpose. My life is too brief to live just for me. Moses says, I don't want you to waste your 70 or 80 years living for your own glory, because in the end, that won't make a lasting difference. None of it will endure if it's all about me. Teach me, O Lord, to maximize my life in the grand scheme of what you want and are up to in this world. So this week, my challenge for you and for myself is to pray through Psalm 90, verse 12. Something like this. Heavenly Father, teach me to number my days, that I might gain a heart of wisdom and fulfill your purpose for my life. How cool that would be if we all do this. And if we really lived life as if it's not me who's the focus, if it's not you who's the focus, as if there's something greater to be part of. Can you imagine that? The impact that we will make in our community for Christ? May God help us. Amen.